Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. We're glad that you have joined us today as we go through the Old Testament, continue our study through. We are going to be looking today in the book of Judges. We're going to kick things off there and introduce that book and look at a few things there in the very beginning, set the tone for the remainder of the book. And before we do that, we want to start things off as we normally do. We want to take a look at what is on the bulletin board this morning. And we have several things on the bulletin board this morning throughout the Brotherhood. Many gospel meetings and the like are going on this week. Kicked off yesterday. It'll run through next Sunday. There is the Young Men's Development Conference that will take place at the BCS, Bryan College Station Church of Christ, located out on State Highway 30. And this Young Men's Development Conference will have classes throughout the day today. They're kicking off actually right now as we speak. And the morning sessions are dealing with structural tools each day, the early morning sessions, that is. We're going to talk about homiletics this morning and then hermeneutics tomorrow, Christian evidences, things of that nature. Then on Tuesday, or the late morning sessions rather, building acceptable worship skills, the contours of Bible song leading, how to teach us to pray, laying by in stores. Those are the type of things that we'll be doing. After lunch today and through the week, they'll have sound lifestyles that they're going to address, avoiding female immodesty, evil communications and peer pressure, social drinking. The late afternoon sessions will deal with sound doctrine. And today is evidence of God. And then we'll look at topics like the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, biblical withdrawal and avoidances. Those are some of the things. Then they'll break throughout the afternoon until 7 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. They'll have a worship assembly each night. And so tonight you'll be able to listen in and hear cross ties and cross references, the redemptive plan of God, and moral development for young men. Have two speakers each night. And these are broadcasts here on the network. If you noticed this morning when you came online, below the Listen Live button, there is a special link to this event, so you can take advantage of some of those things as well. But if you want more information or directions how to get there, they would be glad that you would come and to be a part of this. But you can call 979-744-7470 or go to bcschurchofchrist.com. Then just down the road from here, at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas, starting the 19th, that is Sunday, running through Wednesday, the 22nd. John McCormack will be conducting a gospel meeting over there. Now, John is one of our broadcasters. He broadcasts Simply Christian every Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. His meeting that he's going to be conducting is themed, I Love the Church. Sunday morning, we're looking at Birds of a Feather. The AM worship, After God's Own Heart, PM, The Seed of Principle. Monday night, The Lost Christ. Tuesday, Does Doctrine Really Matter? And Wednesday, What Church Would Jesus Attend? Now, Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., there'll be a special Bible class, The Dreams of Men. You're invited to all of that. If you have any questions or want more information, call 903-572-1136 or go to njcofc.com for more information. Then, on the 26th of March, going through the 29th, the New Boston Church of Christ is going to be having their spring gospel meeting, and Chris Groda will be holding that meeting. Chris is one of our broadcasters as well. He is the Friday co-host with J.J. Hendricks for Mornings for the Master. And this meeting will kick off Sunday, run through Wednesday. The theme, The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ. You can get more information by going to newbostoncofc.org or 903-628-2891 for that event. And in another gospel meeting taking place, this one is going to be at the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas. And Cody Westbrook is going to be conducting this meeting. The theme is Justified. And that will take place March the 26th through the 30th. Information can be found at colleyvillechurchofchrist.org or calling 817-281-1681. Then we've been telling you to get ready. It's almost there, March 26th through the 30th, the 51st annual lectureship of the Memphis School of Preaching. This year's theme, Build Your Hopes on Things Eternal. And there is an outstanding lineup for that week. You can go to msop.org. There you'll be able to find a link for the lectureship and print off, download and print off a flyer and a schedule. Or just give them a call if you want them to mail you one. 901-751-2242. Now remember, those young men from the Memphis School of Preaching are producing a radio show. Comes on every Tuesday morning at 8:30 a.m., Students of the Word. So we look forward to the work that they're doing at the Memphis School of Preaching as well. Then March the 31st through April the 2nd. 11th Annual Young Men's Retreat going to take place at the Broken Bow Church of Christ. Becoming Kingly is the theme this year. And you can get information by calling Anthony at 580-306-4224 for information about that event. Then we want you to come to our gospel meeting. That's April the 2nd through the 5th here in Mount Vernon, Texas. The theme is Unstoppable. The speaker is Kerry Clark. And you can give us a call, 903-537-4129, and get more information about that event as well. Broadway Church of Christ is holding their gospel meeting at the same time, April 2nd through the 5th. And Jim Laws is going to be speaking on the theme, I Can Trust My Bible. Now, you can go to BroadwayChurchOfChristTyler.com or call 903-561-9560. And then finally on the bulletin board, we're going to go ahead and throw it out there. This is going to be later in April, Saturday the 29th, ladies. There's a Ladies' Day that will take place at the Colleyville Church of Christ. Hope, Anchor of the Soul, with Aaron Sprouse and Denise Searle. So go ahead and be planning for that. And again, their number, 817-287-1681. All right, that's what we have on the bulletin board this morning. Maybe you're aware of something that's going on in the your area. We didn't mention it. Do me a favor. Shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org. mornings@tgrn.org. And we'll do our very best to get that on the air in a timely manner so that folks will be aware of what's going on. We're going to start in Judges chapter 1, introduce this book in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Today we continue our study through the Old Testament, and today we get to introduce a book. The book is Judges, and it is a low spot in the history of Israel, especially after what they have just come off of, one of the high spots, the book of Joshua, the conquering and the trusting in God. But we're going to find out that some things are going to change now after the death of Joshua. But let's get sort of a background of what's going on here. And when we do, let's think about maybe the some of the specifics of this book. When we look at the date of its writing, who the author was, things of that nature, who the penman was. But when we think about the date specifically, we're not certain. We do have some key points of what's going on here. And with that, we can place the date that it is prior to the reign of David when this is written. And there's reasons why, because Jerusalem, if we look in chapter 1, there in chapter 1, verse number 21, it tells us, "But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem, so that the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day." And so it is a point of time that the Jebusites still were there. Well, Jerusalem is not captured until David makes it his capital later in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 and following. So this is prior to David's reign as king when these events happen. Then we also consider who the penman may be, and many agree that it appears that Samuel would be the author, the penman, even though he's not stated to be so. One reason is because of the unity of the book seems to indicate one penman. The book also shows evidence that it would be written in the age of King Saul because of some things there in chapter 1. And Hebrew tradition holds that Samuel was the penman, those outside sources as well. When we think about what was going on during that period of time, there are several things. Let's just consider first the term itself. You know, when we look at Judges and we use that English word, sometimes maybe it's a little confusing about what we're dealing with or what we're talking about here with these men. Shofatim, I believe is how you would say it, is actually the judge. Now, it can be translated as it is in the title, as judges, or rulers, or deliverers, or saviors. Shofatim, and if you look at Shofet, then it carries with it, it says, the idea of maintaining justice and settling disputes, but also used to mean liberating or delivering. So it's not necessarily the idea that we think of a judge today in that way, but it was one who would do that. They would maintain justice, they would settle disputes, but also it carries the idea of one who is a liberator, a deliverer, or a savior. And that's what these judges would do. First, the judges would deliver the people, and then they would rule and administer justice for the people. We think about key verses that are going to show up in this book. Key verses for us to consider are chapter 2, verse number 10. "When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." That is a key pivotal verse for all of the events that are going to take place the remainder of this book. Chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 are also key because it says, "Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my words, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died." So here's another key verse of why these events are happening. Why? Because they turned away from God, and then God was no longer going to drive those nations out before them. The key to this book in general can also be summed up in three different places, chapter 17, verse 6, chapter 14, 3 and 7, and chapter 21, verse 25, where basically it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man or everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. We can look at Romans chapter 1 there, and we see what happens there when a time when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, and they turned away from God. They started worshiping the creature instead of the creator. And we're going to see that in the book of Judges. And God is going to give them over, allow them to do so, and then suffer the consequences. When we look at a key chapter would have to be chapter 2. When we look at chapter 2, we're going to see in those first six verses, Israel's disobedience. And then verses 7 through 10, Israel forgets Jehovah after Joshua's death. In chapter 11, verse 23, chapter 2, verses 11 through 23, Israel's unfaithfulness, and this cycle is going to be described. And so chapter 2 is a pivot point as well in the book of Judges. We could look at this cycle that's going to take place, and it seems like a roller coaster ride as we're going to go through the book of Judges. There's these high points and extreme low points as they go through, but it seems like to be a repeating cycle. They're just going around in circles. And some have said we could see a seven cycles that happen. And it starts out with there's this blessing that takes part where God has blessed them, has been with them. And we see that at the end of the book of Joshua. We see it prior to Joshua's death. There's a time of blessing. They are with God. And then there's a time of apostasy where they're turning away from God. And then after they turn away from God, they turn to idols. So we have blessings, apostasy, idolatry, and then God allows these nations to come in and enslave them. And so there's this time of oppression that would come on. During this time, the people would come to their senses, as we see even in Luke 15. With the prodigal son, remember, he went away from the blessings of the father. He wasted all that he had on riotous living. And while he was there feeding the pigs, that he came to himself and repentance was on his mind. In the same we will see with the children of Israel during the time of Judges. They are oppressed. They cry out to God in repentance. And God then sends a judge, a deliverer, and delivers them. And they enjoy for a period of time blessings. But it's not long before they go into apostasy, idolatry, enslavement, repentance, deliverance, blessings, apostasy. And this cycle will continue through the book of Judges for a period of time. And over again through this is our cycle and theme that we will see. Let's just make a little bit of comparison to what we're leaving behind and what we're that we have before us. When we think about all the things that were going on in the book of Joshua, it was a high point. For the most part, a high point for the children of Israel. We see them gaining freedom there, and but then in the book of Judges, bondage they will find again. They're making progress in the book of Judges. Joshua. In the book of Judges, things begin to decline. They are able to have conquest because of their belief. But then in Judges, there's defeat because of disbelief. In chapter 24 and verse 16, in the book of Joshua, they're saying, far be it from us that we would do these things. Well, chapter 3 and verse 7, it says Israel did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 24, the book of Joshua, verse 31, Israel served God. But then what we mentioned even earlier in chapter 21, in verse number 25, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They began to serve self. And so there's a big, drastic change from the end of Joshua to the beginning of Judges. When we think about an outline, we could just give a brief outline deterioration that takes place. The nation of Israel begins to deteriorate. Chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse number 4. Deliverances, chapter 3, verse 5 through 16, 31, and depravity, chapter 17, 1 through 21, 25. We could call it in such a way. There are going to be a series of judges that will come about over the period of the book of Judges. But again, we have that same process. Even though there is a judge, a deliverer who would come, they would still fall back into the same old thing. Well, let's look now. Let's start going through our text briefly. In the time that we have, let's notice some things that happen here in chapter 1 and then chapter 2. Let's notice first just this period of time here, and we'll go through just a few verses. Now, after the death, beginning here in Judges chapter 1, verse number 1, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up against the Canaanites and to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up, and indeed I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we might fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go up to you, go up with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. And then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek, and they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather scraps under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me. And then they brought him into Jerusalem, and there he died. Now, let's just pause there for a moment and notice a few of the things that are happening as this chapter or this book begins. It tells us that this is a period of time after Joshua's death. We don't know how long after this event takes place, but Joshua has died, and now the people are asking for a new leader. Who's going to go up before us? Who's going to be our champion as we go through? And the one who would be the champion is going to be Judah. Now, remember, in the book of Genesis, when we were there and studying through the book of Genesis in chapter 49, verses 8 through 12, Judah's lot, his role is spoken out. He's going to be one who would be a leader. He was one who, if you notice there, it says, again, chapter 49, verses 8 through 12, Judah, thee shall thy brethren praise, thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies, and thy father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as a lioness shall rise up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the obeisance of his people be. So he is going to be the one who is the leader or the champion, as we see, according to Genesis 49, and here he steps into that role. But also at that time, he is going to ask or inquire of his brother Simeon to go into fight with him there in chapter 1, verse number 3. Remember, if we go back to chapter 49 as well, beginning there in verse number 5, he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers, weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel, or my glory be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed a man, and in their willingness they hamstrung the oxen. These were fighting men. But notice what happens in verse number 49, verse 7. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So Simeon's going to go up here with Judah, and he's going to have a portion there among them. What do? Well, verse 4, they kill 10,000 men. But we have Adonai Bezek, which literally means Lord of Bezek, which is just a title. Verse number 6, though, told us that they did something, excuse me, that seems odd. They cut off his big toes and they cut off his thumbs. And reasons why. Well, he couldn't hold a weapon without his thumbs. And he couldn't run or jump without his big toes. So they have hobbled the enemy. And that's what he says that he has done many times over. He had done this very same thing to kings that he had conquered. And now God has repaid him of this very activity. Well, let's drop down now to verse number 9. Afterwards, let's go through 9 down through maybe a verse 21. Afterwards, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites, and who dwelt in the mountains and in the south and in the lowlands. And then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba, and they killed Sheshaiah and Ahiman and Talmai. From there they went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kirjath Serpha. And then Caleb said, "Whosoever attacks Kirjath Serpha and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Achsah as wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And so he gave him his daughter, Achsah, as wife. And now it happened, when she came to him, that she urged him and asked her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" And so she said to him, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of the palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies south near Arad. And they went and they dwelled among the people. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And so the name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. And so the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. And then he expelled from there three of the sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Now, when we notice a few things about these events, we have this war against the Canaanites that begins to go now after the death of Joshua. They've already come to a period of time where he has fought and drove them out, for the most part, driven out many of them. But now this victory and retelling of these things is going on. So we have 12 to 15, the retelling of Caleb's offer and Othniel's victory. That's given there. Judah and Simeon continue their fight. They're in 16 to 21. It is the city of the palm trees, which is Jericho. chapter 18, I mean, verse number 18, it tells us where some of these borders were and some of those partial victories. But Benjamin, here's the key, Benjamin did not and could not drive out the Jebusites of Old Jerusalem. And so because of that, they remained with them. And this is going to be key, because the influence that the people are going to have or be influenced by those around about them as they begin to fail to drive out the enemies. Now notice 22 to 29, there's going to be more failure of the children of Ephraim. And notice what it says. Now the house of Joseph went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And so the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. And the name of the city was formerly Luz. And when the spies saw a man coming out of the city, they said to him, "Please show us the entrance of the city, and we will show you mercy." And so he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called its name Luz, which was the name to this day. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages. And so, you know, here we're getting to a point where, once again, Manasseh now does not drive out the inhabitants of the land. Drop down to verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. Drop down to verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Drop down to verse 31. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco. Verse 33. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and others. And so we see this continual failure to do as God had commanded. But we also were told why that God did not do this. God did not drive them out because, remember, the children of Israel had turned away from following God. And he said, "I will not drive them out before you any longer." And that's what we find out as we see in chapter 2. Why is this going to happen? Why? Well, the angel of Jehovah tells them why, that he is not going to drive them out before them. Notice verses 1 through 5. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where we find out the angel of the Lord is going to speak to and tell why he is not driving them out. Judges 2, verses 1 through 5. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Remember in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, God there reminds us that he has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." But the problem here is they turned away from God. And so he says in verse number 2, "And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you." And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So he tells us now why all of this is taking place. he had warned them before about the people of the promised land, that they were going to have to drive these people out, utterly overthrow them, drive the inhabitants out, throw down their altars, but they didn't do it. He said now the people were going to be thorns in their sides, their gods would ensnare them. And it happens over and over and over again in the book of Judges as they turn to this idolatry. We think also, notice what happens a little bit later in chapter 2, beginning there in verse 6. Now we have the death of Joshua in verses 6 through 10. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance and possessed the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great work of the Lord, the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, dying, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance. And, pardon me. And so when we look at Joshua, there's something here about this leader that really stands out. Some would say, well, he failed to reproduce leaders. That's what Paul would point out in 2 Timothy chapter 2 when he talks about the idea in verse number 2, and these things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There is the need to reproduce future leaders so that the people do not fail and go into apostasy as they do here after the death of Joshua. But what we also see is that during this period of time, notice what it says, they served all the days of Joshua, and then they continued to serve all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So he did reproduce, but they failed to reproduce those leaders who would continue to lead the children in the right way. When we think about Joshua, we have a great, faithful leader. We saw it with the time of Moses, and with Moses as a great leader, but with Joshua, there are several things that really stand out. When Joshua was first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, and it says that he is fighting there against Amalek with the people, and he discomfits them with the edge of the sword, it says. He is one who is a faithful soldier. We find out that he is second mentioned when he's going up Mount Sinai. How is it that this man who dies at the end, who has led the children of Israel in, how does he become such a leader? Well, he did so because Moses took him under his wing. Think about all that Moses did for Joshua and all that Joshua did in his preparation. He starts out as a servant. He remained, Exodus chapter 32, verses 15, he remains on the mountain there 40 days with Moses waiting on him. He's a faithful spy, as he was sent in Numbers 13 to spy out the land. In Numbers 14, he stands up with Caleb against the others and says, the land is ours. He was a faithful follower before he ever became a faithful leader, because Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12 says that he wholly followed God. He was a faithful leader in Numbers 27, verses 15 to 20, as he is now going to be the one who leads the way. And as we saw at the end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 24 and verse 15, this man is a faithful follower. He has instructed his own household in order to follow Jehovah. And when he did that, he also then became the leader that he needed to be for a nation. I think we can see a lot of the training and benefits of even elders in the church today. As an elder is to be faithful over his home, and then he can be faithful over the house of God. And we see those qualifications and that come also in Joshua. Now, the problem now then begins to build up after the death of Joshua. Notice Israel's unfaithfulness as it unfolds in chapter 2, verse 11. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. So immediately after this recording of the death of Joshua, we have now this turning away. So it's a very short period of time. It's after his death, but it makes it through the life of those who were there with him, those who had seen the great works which the Lord had done. And so now this time period has passed, but the first recording after that is that they have now turned away, done evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served a false god. Verse number 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods of the gods of the people who were round about them, and they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. There's a great lesson for us right here as we begin this apostasy that takes place. Again, I mentioned Romans chapter 1 earlier, but with this as well, we have those who are surrounding them, evil companions, corrupt good habits, good morals, King James Version. And with that, they begin to act like those around them. They are now, they have forsaken God. They have too much goods, and they have now bowed themselves to these false gods. And so they forsook the Lord, and they served Baal and Ashtaroth. You cannot serve both. You can't serve the God of the Bible, Jehovah God of the Bible, and a God that is created in the image of man. And that's what we have around us even today in the religious world. But we see in verse number 14, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about them, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. So now the time is set. We see the children of Israel. They have come into this promised land. They are doing a great deed. They have conquered most of the enemies, but not all of the enemies that needed to be driven out by the time Joshua dies. But they then, after the death of Joshua, as we noted in chapter 1, cried out for a new leader. And they had one, even among their own brethren. They had Judah, who was going to be their champion. And he did. He led them, and they began to conquer. But by the end of chapter 1, we saw failure after failure after failure as they did not drive them out. Why? Because chapter 1, verse 28, let's go back and look for a moment. Notice what it says. And it says, it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Sometimes, you know, man makes a decision based upon finances rather than faithfulness. And this is what we see here. They got to a point in time where they could make some money off of these people, put them under tribute, instead of utterly destroying them as God had commanded them to do. Go back to, or go over to 1 Timothy for a moment. And let's pick up there in verse number 6 of chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, while some, coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We see that there are some times that men of God make poor decisions based upon, you know, the promise of wealth, and they pierce their hearts through with many sorrows. They make those decisions. Here's what happens in chapter 1. They got to a point in time where now they were going to, instead of driving them out as they should have, it says they're strong, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. They were strong. They could have driven them completely out of the land, but they didn't. There was profit to be made. And when they saw this profit to be made, they made a wrong decision, and it would come back to bite them one day. They would pierce their hearts through with many sorrows. Well, we also can go through and notice just a few lessons about this. First of all, follow God. Let God lead the way. You know, they went ahead of God. They started doing it their own way instead of following God. And with it, you know, if we do that, then it is God that will bring the victory. But that was not going to happen for these children of Israel. It's not until these great oppressions come along, and that's what the remainder of this book will point out. If we look at what we have ahead of us now, beginning there in chapter 3, there's going to be a period of time of oppression that will take place. Now, tomorrow, they're going to look at that Ryan is going to deal with this cycle of history in the time of Judges that comes up in chapter 2, verse 6 and following. But if we think about it, there's going to be oppression from Mesopotamia, and Othniel will be one of the... There's going to be 7 oppressions that actually take place and 13 judges that are listed. And so we have the oppression of Mesopotamia. Othniel will be our judge in chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Moab will be the oppressor. And Ehud, chapter 3, verse 12 to 30, will be the judge. You have Philistia as an oppressor. And Shamgar, chapter 3, verse 31. Deborah, as the Canaanites oppressed, chapters 4 and 5. Then Gideon, you know, some of these more famous, if you will, of our judges. When the Midianites come on board, chapter 6 through 8, you're going to have Gideon. Then you'll have Abimelech and Tola and Jair all the way down to chapter 10. Then we're going to look, and Lord willing, I get to take a look at these. Jephthah, and remember his vow. That'll take place in chapter 10 when Ammon has come as oppressor with Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. And then finally, Philistia is going to be the oppressor. And remember chapter 13 to chapter 16, we see that Samson is going to come on board as that judge. And so that's what we get to look forward to in this book. And just a few thoughts about it beforehand. But we're going to cut out early this morning. That's all I had for today. And hope that you will continue to listen throughout the day. Just a few moments, or just a little while rather, you'll have the Good News Today with Jim Dearman, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine with Rick Popejoy. But we have listening opportunities throughout the day. Yeah, Mornings for the Master tomorrow morning. Don't forget with Ryan as he continues our study through the Book of Judges. And I know that you'll benefit from tuning in there. But I encourage you to find a new show. Look on the schedule. Go to the schedule. Find one you haven't listened to and say, you know what, I'm going to try that today. And when you find that you like the show, I encourage you to share it with your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones by way of Facebook, social media, or whatever. Tell them about the Gospel Radio Network and the programming that is there that can be a benefit in their life and share it with others. We're glad that you have been with us today, And until next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
Listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.
Thank you.